Well, we are here again.
We are, yes.
Marin.
Marin. Here we are.
This is our Marin. I don't know.
This is Barely Furcasting, featuring Tabin and Injured Nerves audio production.
All right. Well, here we are once again on our podcast. Hi, Tabin. How are you today?
Hi. I'm great. How are you, Barely?
I'm doing pretty good. It's another wonderful day. You know, it's nice that the fires have finally died down on the West Coast, so we're not all ablaze. When we're recording this, they're predicting rain, so hopefully the rain will take care of things and get the smoke out of our nostrils. Well, it's not going to rain in my nostrils, but
that would be an interesting weather system that I don't understand. Okay.
Specifically in person's nostrils. It's a tiny little weather system. But things are probably getting back to pre-fire normal. Not pre-COVID normal, but pre-fire normal, at least.
Yeah. One thing at a time, I guess.
And of course, when this comes out, it will be autumn.
Oh.
We will have gone through the autumnal equinox.
Autumnal? How did you say that?
Autumnal.
Is that like my puppy tummy is ill?
No, it's not autumnal. It's autumnal.
Oh.
Autumnal.
Oh. Okay.
Let's jump right in. We have a few minutes before we have to post the 5-minute furs for fun. So did you finish your song?
I did. You remember last week I had started something. This story went for whatever reason, it just popped in my little puppy brain, this melody. And so I wrote down a few verses and a chorus, and I sang that to you last time, and I finished it up, and it is called Mafurio Fur. Mm-hmm. And I would like to sing it to you if you wouldn't mind. And all our listeners, I hope they don't mind.
I hope they don't mind too. And we would love to hear you sing Mafurio Fur.
I can't wait to sing it for you, so I guess I won't wait anymore. Here I go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Love that beat. Got the 80s going on. This pup likes the 80s. Yeah. Brings me back. It's like a dancing pup to the 80s or something. I don't actually really know what I'm talking about, but I think you understand where I'm coming from. But let me tell you something. Some furs pat me, some furs hug me, I think that's okay. If they give me proper wags, then I won't fluff away. Doggies beg and kitties lead, they all chase the pointed light. They run around and they all paw at the light, it seems so right. And we are living in a Mafurio world, and I am a Mafurio fur. You know that we are living in a Mafurio world, and I am a Mafurio pup. Bark, bark. Some furs go prance, some furs fluff stance, that's all right with me. If they sit in box, then they fucks and they'll pet the kitty. Some pups bark and some kits meow and wolfies tails wag. But when the bun hops and puppy flops and belly rubs, I beg. Cause we are living in a Mafurio world, and I am a Mafurio fur. You know that we are living in a Mafurio world, and I am a Mafurio pup. Bark, bark! Bark, bark! Bark, bark! Fluff may come and fluff may go, but to hug is my plea. My tail wags, I zig and zags, the ah-woo is for me. Cause we are living in a Mafurio world, and I am a Mafurio fur. You know that we are living in a Mafurio world, and I am a Mafurio pup.
That was a heck of a song, Taven.
Why, thank you. I worked really hard on it, and I'm quite happy with how it turned out. Maybe if I keep making songs, I will make a Taven Sings Whatever CD or something.
There you go.
We can get some Taven merch.
Taven merch. Wow. We'd have a lot of people very happy if we got Taven merch.
Well, I hope so. I'd rather that than make them sad. Tell us about your lunch with Kevin Costner.
As many of these stories start out, many years ago, I was a fugitive hunter. You may or may not have known. My partner and I, we had an office here in Salem, Oregon, and we would often go to the Salem airport for lunch because it was close and it was good. And we got to watch planes take off, little planes, not big planes, because Salem airport's a little tiny airport. It was, I want to say, probably 96, 97. We're sitting there having lunch. This little plane lands and we're sitting there watching this little plane land, and it drives up to park, as planes often do when they go to an airport.
They do that.
Yes. Out comes this guy, and I'm looking out there, and I said, that looks like Kevin Costner. My partner looks at him and says, yeah, I think that is Kevin Costner. It's like, interesting. Wonder what he's doing here in Salem.
I wonder that too.
And so, well, he's a pilot, obviously, because he flew the plane in himself. He comes into the restaurant and he's looking around like he's lost, because it's usually just regulars that are there. And you just come in, you sit down, and the waitress comes over and gives you your menu.
And he's not used to that, I guess.
And he's not used to that. Yeah. And so he's standing there looking oh so lost. And I wave at him and I say, hey, we got a seat over here if you want to sit down. So he comes over and sits down.
Okay. What a nice guy.
Right. And I said, you look an awful lot like Kevin Costner. And he says, well, that's because I am Kevin Costner.
Well, that's quite a good reason to,
right?
look like him.
Kevin Costner.
Wow.
We had a nice lunch. He was actually here scouting out locations for the movie The Postman that he was doing. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
So they filmed a lot of that in the desert over in Eastern Oregon. So he had flown into Salem to refuel California. And then he was going to fly over to Bend. But he figured, hey, it's lunchtime, I'll go in and have lunch. And again, much like whenever celebrities come to the little Salem, Oregon, people look at them and go, That looks like Kevin Costner. Is that Kevin Costner? And then, of course, when we waved him over and he sat down, they're like, oh, that can't be Kevin Costner because he's just sitting with normal people.
That's right. He was a nice guy and everything, and you had a good lunch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was telling us that he was over there scouting out some stuff and going to look at other locations. And he's going to fly up to Washington and scout out locations up there for his movie. Cool. And so it was really cool.
That is really cool. And you know, when you were saying how all stories start out many years ago, it reminded me of a little bit of trivia I know. Do you know why way back when they called it the Dark Ages?
Because they didn't have lights.
Actually, it's because of all the nights. And I also found out, like in arenas, like sports arenas, it's always so breezy. Do you know why it's so breezy?
I don't know. Why is it so breezy in sports arenas?
Because of all the fans.
Hey, you know what time it is?
It better be time to move on.
It's time to move on. It's time to move on to 5 minute furs for fun. So I'm going to post the link.
When you're going to post the link.
And it is posted, and we're going to see if somebody comes in. There's a rumor that somebody named Spirit Wolf is going to jump in. Hey, look, it's Spirit Wolf.
Hey, he went, and here he is. The wolf ran, and he's here. Hi, Mr. Spirit Wolf. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
I'm vibing.
You're vibing. Where are you from, Spirit?
I am from Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Sorry, I just turned off my telegram.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous, so I never done shit like this before.
Well, whenever little beepies go off, I get nervous too, but I'm a pup, so I do that.
So, Spirit Wolf, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All the way in Connecticut.
Yes, the New England area. What kind of questions do you want to throw at
me? I don't know.
What do you do out there in Connecticut?
There's not much going on. There's not much here in Connecticut. It's pretty much very boring.
So you sit down, and this is the most exciting point of your life right now?
Yeah. You can put it that way.
That's scary. I'm sorry.
So what brought you to the furry fandom, Mr. Spirit Wolf?
Okay, so this is a story. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I have to remember it. So if I remember correctly, I was in middle school. I was between 7th and 8th grade. It was around the time where I was like a brony, which was like... the worst decision I've ever
well,
made.
Well, I'm a brony.
Well, I mean, no disrespect to bronies. This just wasn't my thing. After like scrolling through a lot of cringy pony videos, I stumbled upon an Anthrocon video. It was a cosplay of the characters from the show. And I'm like, wait, what is this? So I looked more into it. I was like, oh, this is far more interesting than what I'm into right now.
Wow. Ooh. Connections.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And then I went to my first con in after high school. It was I had the time of my life.
Was it A&E then?
No, it was Furpocalypse.
Oh, okay, cool, okay. Cool.
Yeah, when they used to have it in the Cromwell.
I haven't been to that one, but it was a pretty nice first con for you then, huh?
It felt weird because like I didn't know a lot of people, but I knew people from Twitter, but I didn't have like close friends there. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, what do I do? Yeah,
I think a lot of furs, their first con is similar to that. They might know some others from like, well, Telegram and Twitter and just online, but they get there and they don't really know. Well, hi, I'll just sit in that corner because that's a friendly looking corner and I like it. So I'll sit there. But yeah. Then eventually you talk to the other furs that are hiding in the corner with you and you realize you're not alone. And that's how it all starts. So cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I made a lot of friends in this fandom. Some of them I hang out with a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So how do you know? How do you know TikTok? He invited you to the chat and said, "Go, go, go."
Yeah. So I think I met him through the Lemon. So I'm a Lemon Brat suitor. I met him through one of the group chats for the suit maker. Speaking of which, where is my suit?
Wait. Oh, and he's gone.
I don't know where it is.
There he is. Oh, he's back. Okay.
He's gone. The boy. I think he There's went to go boy. Get a suit.
Oh, yes, he did. There is
Maybe
his boy.
He's going to go do a fancy dinner, so he needs a suit.
He needs a suit, yes.
No, I was just showing it off. But anyway, pretty much what happened. And then we talked a lot, and we actually have a good, well, how do you say it? I don't know how to put it. I've been a lot of good friends with like a lot of Lemon Brat people. So.
Nice. Nice. All right. So do you work? Do you go to school? What do you do for?
I work at like a local coffee shop in my local area. And I am a photography student, actually.
Okay.
So for like a community college that's like 5 minutes from my house.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
That's exciting and fun.
Yes.
What's your next con when they lift COVID?
Oh, man. I have to figure that out. So I'm hoping either... A&E got canceled. So either... Oh, I'm hoping for FurPoc because they have it at the new location, like Stamford, Connecticut. And it's supposed mm-hmm. to be much better. But they had to cancel this year. But hopefully next year we'll rock it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rockin'! My tail's wagging!
Yeah.
On a rocky, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. What are you doing right now? Because I don't know what I'm doing right now. So maybe you know what you're doing right now.
I'm vibing, man. I'm not doing much.
Yeah, and you're turning around in circles. I see.
Yes.
That's what I exciting. Do best. Yeah. But as you say, there's not really much to do out there. So you turn in circles and that's about it. That's exciting.
I mean, yeah, I'll just hang out with friends and stuff. But like. There's not much like fun things around Connecticut, so.
Okay. It's good to know. I've never been, and now maybe I'll never go.
No, but do come for the cons. Do come
for the cons. Oh, do come for the cons. Okay, I definitely have not been to a con. The furthest I've been to a con for this East, I'm on West Coast, for this East is AC in Pittsburgh. That's the furthest, and I've only been once. Other than that, I go to TFF, which is Texas, of course, and that's East, but not as far as Connecticut. That's crazy nuts. Craziness, crazy nice, or crazy nice. One of the two, both of them.
Both of those things, yes. There's a huge, huge Native American casino in Connecticut, correct?
Yes. I forget which one, though.
Isn't it like Foxwoods or something like that? Or, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
They have foxies. I like foxies. They have big puffy tails. So maybe that's a place I would like because I'm a pup and I like foxies.
I guess that works for you.
All right. So, Spirit, so have you heard our podcast or is this your first time dealing with this?
First time dealing with this. Actually, no, I listened to the TikTok's interview on your show and I was like, oh, this is actually quite interesting. And then he told me like, hey, you want to be on the show? I'm like, wait, what? So.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, yep. Hi. But after this experience, he's never going to listen to us again. So.
Probably not. Yeah. One thing. We picked up one listener and lost him on the same day. Imagine.
I know. It's this. I'm just a pup and I do naughty things like that sometimes, like make people run away. So sorry to do that.
It happens to the best of us.
Well, you're sharing a podcast with another East Coaster. Our guest today is Strobes.
Yes, I know Strobes.
Yeah, so when this episode comes out on the 26th, you will be on the same episode as Strobes.
Indirectly, you had no idea, but Strobes noticed you and stuff. So maybe you'll actually not run away, but stay now that we did this for you.
Yeah, I apologize for all the mishaps.
No worries. That's what technology is all for.
You apparently don't know me. I am a mishap, not just a Miss Pup. Well, I'm a Mr. Pup, but I'm also a mishap.
So, Spirit, our 5 minutes is up.
Oh, man, I wish it was
sad. I know. It's so sad. So, but thanks for joining us, and we'll let you get on with your life there in boring Connecticut.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
Sure. Maybe we'll talk to you again in a future Pupcast.
Yep.
Who knows?
All right.
We'll see.
Who knows? All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Well, let's move along. So, have you watched any new TV this week?
Let's see. What have I been doing? Family. I've been still watching. I started season 4, the last one that's available of FS for Family. I finished Santa Clarita Diet, which well, there's 3 seasons out, and I finished the 3rd season. And it, very interesting. They left it to be. There's probably going to be a 4th season, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
I think I mentioned last week that I started season 2 of Arrested Development, a show that everyone on Earth has already seen all of, but I'm slow. Ooh, yeah. I watched a really good movie the other day. It's called Knives Out.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that good? It was like really good. Any furs out there that are looking for kind of mystery type thing with a little bit of a twist, check out Knives Out, because I don't think I've really seen that sort of plot line in a mystery before. Like how they did it was really cool. So
that was a classic type of a movie in the 40s and 50s. They called it a whodunit.
I guess I'm trying to say I haven't seen this particular line of whodunit before. I've seen whodunit before, but I've never seen.
Yeah,
my words don't work very well. But yeah,
there was a whodunit done in the style of, actually, it was kind of done in the style of Clue.
I was just going to ask you, actually, if you've seen Clue, and you obviously have. Yeah, no, Clue is with, what's his name? Tim, you know.
Yeah, that guy.
Uh-huh. That guy. Yeah, I love that show. I've seen it so many times. Have you seen, it's similar to Clue, it's called Dial M for Murder?
I haven't. It's a classic, but I have not seen it.
It is. It's Clue-like, you know, it's a comedic I can't say that, comedic whodunit that's similar to Clue, but they bring in like all these well-known people, like if you know Perrault, a French mystery solver, they actually have him on it, and they have, oh, I forget their names, but they have like several other really, really well-known people. You should take that out if you like those type of movies.
Another kind of movie along that line is Murder on the Orient Express.
I have heard of that. I think I've seen it. Was that a good one that I liked?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Probably. You might have liked it. Yeah, I don't know.
I want to watch that again now.
So I have started watching an HBO series called Lovecraft Country.
Is that like HP?
Yes, HP Lovecraft. HP. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
It's loosely based on the stories of H.P. Lovecraft, and it is set in the 50s and early 60s rural America. It's very different, refreshingly unique as far as television shows go. It's on HBO, but you know, if you have HBO, take a look at that. It can be violent at times.
So cover puppy eyes sometimes.
Cover puppy eyes. I tend to lean towards the violent programs lately, I'm noticing.
Apparently the nuns and then the...
And I've watched 2 more episodes of BNA, which also is violent, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Barely. Uh-huh. What's happening with you?
I don't know. BNA is violent. And then I was bored the other night and I started flipping through the television channels and I found Ren and Stimpy.
Oh my cow. Yeah. And so are you watching that again now?
Yes. And guess what? It's violent.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, we know we've got your theme down. That's great.
Apparently, yes. Apparently, everything is violent. I didn't realize how violent some things were until I started watching them again. It's like, wow, that's,
Well, maybe scary. Back when, because, you know, that was out like, what, 15, 20? No, more than that. 40 years ago or something like that.
So it wasn't 40 years ago.
No. Right. It was not. Now that I think about it, was it like 200 years ago when you first watched it? Like you're that old?
I'm that old, yes. I was around when dirt was a new thing.
Oh, that's why they call it old as dirt, right?
Yes, exactly. Taven, should we cut to our interview with Strobes?
Oh, yes. I'm excited to talk to the Space Lynx kitty, Strobes.
Strobes, welcome to our show. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Chilling and hoping that everything holds up.
Taven, do you have some questions you'd like to ask him?
I do. I have a bunch of questions I would like to ask you, Strobes. Would you like to respond?
No, not at all.
I am denied.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show.
It was wonderful to have you. Bye, guys. And, thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. I guess I can allow a few questions. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Well, that's exciting. I'm wagging right now. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know what that was, but it's true. So where are you from, Mr. Strobes?
Well, I currently reside in a town about 10, 15 minutes south of Boston called Quincy, in which the people are adamant that it is not Quincy, it is Quincy.
Is it spelled with a Z?
No, it's spelled with a C. It was where John Quincy Adams actually passed away. His house is actually at the end of our street.
Wow.
Yeah. So I could walk to where this guy died, actually.
If that's what you wanted to do, you could do that, yes.
I know. Speaking of life and death, I was actually born in Pennsylvania. And I lived in Pennsylvania pretty much all my life until after I graduated from college.
And then you moved to Quincy.
Quincy, yes.
Quincy. I learned something today. So how long have you been Strobes and how did you become Strobes? How did you know this is you? You're a lynx.
I don't know exactly. I think it was something that eventually over time just kind of felt right. See, I found the fandom at a way earlier age than I should have, to be frank, because I was born in 90, right? And I found the fandom probably like late 2003, early 2004-ish. And I was just like, wow, this is so cool. I was enraptured with it. And I had the hardest time coming up with a character for a while. And it was only after I realized that a lynx was kind of what I kept going back to. Anytime I'd be like, oh, well, maybe a wolf or like a lion or something, you know, anything else, I would eventually go back to lynx. So I was like, you know what? That's probably a sign. I should probably just go with that.
And you did. Did you ever figure out what kept bringing you back to the lynx?
I think it's a lot of like silly things. Because they're very awkward looking animals. And I feel like I have an awkward sense of humor a lot of the time. So like the fact that they look so silly and goofy is how I feel sometimes. Okay. So I kind of resonated with them in that way. And I like the different features. Like I like the cheek ruffs and like the huge paws and the little tail. I liked a lot of animals with little tails. Don't tell the bunnies that though.
Okay. You know, I think we have some things in common because I'm a little bit of a crazy pup myself and a little awkward. And I don't know how people and other furs put up with me, but they do. So yes, welcome to the boat, I guess. It's a really crowded boat, just naturally. So you, of course, go to fur cons. And what was your first fur con?
My first furry con was AnthroCon 2011. That was when I was in college, and it was after my sophomore year of college. And some friends were like, yeah, we're all going to be there. And I happened to have, because I went to Penn State, one of my best friends lived right outside of Pittsburgh. So I was like, if I go, I don't even have to pay for a hotel room or anything like that. I don't have to worry about anything like that. So I just went and stayed at his place, basically, and we would just drive in. It's one of those things that you can never really forget, because the first night I walked in was, I think it was Thursday night, and walking into the lobby and just seeing it like packed chock full of people and fursuiters and people who are just so outwardly furry when this was something I was used to just kind of being on the down low, you know, really outwardly express it ever. And I was just like, yeah, this is great. This is exactly what I wanted. And I knew that I just wanted more of it.
And you did. And you continued to go. How many fur cons do you typically go to per year? And what are they?
We don't talk about 2020. That's the forbidden zone.
It is. It is.
Well, I go to A&E. Obviously, because it's here in Boston, because Gale was a really big part of it being created. And, you know, up until recently, she's stepped back a little bit. So I'm always going to Annie. And then usually spring is kind of like up in the air a little bit. There's FWA. There's Fernal Equinox. Those are two that we've gone back to repeatedly. And then eventually we get to AnthroCon, which we do every year. Usually we don't do too much between AnthroCon and MFF. We used to do Fur Fright every year when that was a thing.
But it's not, so you don't.
Fall time is when we don't go to as many, I would say.
I see. When you go to AC, do you also visit, you know, that's where your stomping ground. So do you visit people while you're there?
Sort of, yeah. because my family, I'm not from the western half of PA. I'm from closer to Philly is where I grew up. I feel like an hour and a half away from Philly, but I just say Philly because, you know, most people, if I'd say Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a lot of people would be like, huh? We'll usually drive there like Tuesday or Wednesday after work. It'd stay like a night or two and then drive over to the con.
Okay. Yeah, that makes for a nice package deal, as it were.
Yeah.
Okay, so dancing, which is something, I think you've heard of this thing called dancing before.
I'm a little foggy.
Let me tell you about it, actually. It turns out that you were in a dance comp. A few of them. So maybe you should watch your videos and then you can learn about dancing.
Okay. I think it's coming back to me.
Okay, good, good, good. So you're winning for, you took first place AC last year dance comp. I love that. So I rewatch that actually all the time. It's so great. And how it worked with the song that you picked out was just, it's so great and wonderful. And then I also happened to see your AC 2017 and MFF 2017 dances. Those were so amazing too. At those, did you place at those?
I did. I actually won both of those events as well.
Oh, both of them. So yeah. You do know something about dancing, it turns out.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not surprised at all because I'm just so amazed by how you can do all that stuff. So how long have you been dancing?
I don't know. It's very misleading because honestly, that first convention that I went to, one of my friends who still dances, only not as much. Her name is Kato Wolf. She also went to Penn State. I got to kind of sneak into the dance comp prelims.
Naughty.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, oh, I'm her fursuit handler. Like, we're her fursuit handlers, and there's like three of us, you know, like any fursuit.
It's a lot of work, apparently.
It's tough to contain these animals. Yeah, so we went in, and I was just like, wow, this is cool, because I always thought dancing was neat, but it was so, like, unattainable, because anytime you would, like, put into YouTube, amazing dancer or something, it would be some guy who's been dancing for 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
He's so good that it's unfathomable. He's, like, at the end of the alphabet, and you don't even know what A and B are.
Yeah, right.
I can't imagine ever being even close to that good. So it was cool to see people who are at different stages of getting mm-hmm. better. And it almost made it more relatable. And when I saw the actual dance event the next day, I was like, maybe I could do that. I kind of want to try that. So yeah. I kind of haphazardly worked on it until AC came around the next year, 2012, and they were going to try a new event. And that event was the first Floor Wars.
Ooh, that was like the first one?
Yeah, that was the very first one. And they had signups online. And I remember mm-hmm. thinking to myself, I'm super afraid to sign up. But I know that if I sign up, I won't be able to let myself back out, because backing out would be like the biggest regret that I could ever have. That's like my big thing in life in general. I have an extreme aversion to regret. Like if I know I'm really going to regret something, then I'm just going to like, I'm going to go for it. So I did. And I had 3 weeks to prepare. So I danced every single night for like 2 hours for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I won my first battle. And then Doryu gave my tail a good kicking in the second round, I remember. But I won my first one. I was just like, I did it. Oh my God, it actually happened.
That's possum. Yeah. Going up against Doryu would be intimidating, definitely. I've done Floor War. I mean, I'm a horrible dancer, but I've never made it to the second round. At that stage, it's kind of hit or miss, because it just depends on who you get paired up with. Like my first one, the first round, they paired me up with Telephone. And so that was a little scary. But anyway, you were able to motivate yourself because you knew, well, I'm going to sign up and then I know I'm not going to back out. So that kind of started the whole thing. And that's amazing.
All I had to do was click the button to hit submit form. And then I was like, that's it. I just sent it. Oh, crap. What did
There's
I do?
There's no going back now.
I guess I have to go through with this now, right?
Did you then just immediately latch onto it and the next con you did stuff, or did it take you a few cons to like think, oh, okay, I want to try it again?
No, I kind of kept going with it. The thing was like, I was like, I'm happy I won my first battle and then I lost, you know, whatever. I still got one victory and I made some friends. And then I remember the next con that I went to was Fur Fright. It was Fur Fright 2012. Mm-hmm. That was where a certain kitty named Gail had convinced me to go to that con. But we were not together at that point. It was kind of happening along the side. Yeah, so we went. We were doing like dance circle stuff there. And people were like, I remember Atsu telling me at one point, he was like, dude, like, where is this coming from? Seems like you've gotten so much better. And I was like, I think it was just that I was really nervous the first time. Like, I had gotten better for sure, but I was also really nervous. And when you're nervous and dancing, a lot of times your brain just kind of blacks out and you're just like, well, okay.
Just doing whatever. It's interesting you mentioned that because I was just watching the other day. You were in a Thor Wars with Atsu, MFF 2015, and both of you were just amazing, of course. So cool. So Atsu's been dancing. Like, did you know him before that, or did you just meet him at that at Furfright?
No, I had met him at AC. I hadn't really hung out with him much. I knew who he was beforehand because he actually had been posting some videos on YouTube of like he would like take videos of dancers at cons and kind of put them together in compilations. So I had found his YouTube channel at some point. That was how like I knew who he was before I met him.
And he was in or is in
Fraternity.
Yes, that's the word. Thank you. Yeah. that's where I first heard about him too.
Yeah.
Did you have any formal training of any sort, or do you just naturally know how to dance?
I think that's a little bit of a deceptive question. Because in dance, I generally group people into one of two categories, and obviously they break down further than this. But I think there are some people who are very conceptual with their dance. And to contrast that, I think some people are very like groove based, like they just kind of know how to groove to a beat. I feel like I always had kind of a natural groove. I just didn't really know what to do with it. Like I could move in time to a beat and like mix it up and do like ba ba ta 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 ta. I could mix it up and stay with a beat. I just didn't really have anything to go with it. So when I started just focused on what can I do to go with all of that, I didn't get training from like another person, so to speak. I haven't gone to many classes in my life. A lot of it's like self-taught stuff and figuring things out, but I've definitely had friends help me along the way, and that's been invaluable.
Little pointers here and there. Definitely. Your dancing is extremely, these days, extremely smooth, and your pop and locking is just incredible these days. And so it sounds like you didn't really start with a style per se. You just kind of naturally got into it, and you practice and you get better and better. At what point did your pop and locking start becoming incorporated into your dancing?
I just kind of went for things. I looked for stuff that when I would see it, I would think to myself, I want to do that. So the first footwork, I was like, I want to have some kind of footwork, and I want to have something else to go with it. So the first footwork I actually did was like shuffling, like hard style shuffling. I don't even really like hard style music. I found the shuffling to be like fun to do. Mm-hmm. So I worked on that. I also worked on waving, which is like when you kind of make it look like a wave is like rippling through your body. I was a college kid. I didn't even have like a mirror in my room, but I did have a big window. So at night, with the lights on in the room and it being dark outside, that was like a mirror. So yeah. I would just do the steps of having the wave go in one arm and out the other. And I just count 1, 2, 3, you know, and just do it like that. And I did that pretty much every night for like a weekend, I think. And mm-hmm. then I was like, okay, so I'm kind of getting it. Like I can kind of do it smoothly without counting the steps. I was like, okay, so I know one thing. And then you realize how little you can do with one thing. It's all about how can you keep it going? I think with popping, people who can do a hit where it's like a big jerking, convulsing effect, but popping is continuous hits. So I didn't really get more into popping for a few years, I would say, maybe around 2014, 2015. Even then, my hits were not nearly what they are now, because it's one of those things where popping, you have to drill it. If I would give you like an hour class on how to pop, you wouldn't get it by the end. You have to just keep doing it and training your muscles to be able to do it. As for locking, I don't really do that much locking. There aren't many people in the fandom who actually lock. I think one of the best examples who does is AOE. Spelled AOI. They also go by Blue or Puppin Cakes. They are a very good locker. I was on a team with them at MFF Floor Wars this past year, actually. Oh, the team name cool. was My Two Dads, and I was one of the dads. They were the not dad on the team.
Yeah.
I wore a button down.
I'm definitely going to look them up. That sounds awesome. How about these days? Are there like dance styles you typically are attracted to or try to perfect, or do you just kind of do your own thing?
It's weird. I was just talking to somebody about this earlier today, but I think what I did when I got into dance is anytime I saw something I liked, like a dancer doing it that I really liked watching, I said, I want to learn that. And what happens is it's like a jack of all trades kind of deal. I can do the basics of a few styles, but to me, what's more impressive about dance is maybe somebody who can do like one or two things, but they can do them really well and their repertoire is deep. It's not just the same surface level basics. They can do a lot with a little. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I love seeing somebody, especially like if you go into Boston here and see some of these guys like with popping and robotics, just how much they can do with robotics. It's crazy. That's definitely a style I've always been into, like animation, robotics, and popping. Just hip hop in general is a big one for me.
What's his name? There's some his name is like Slim something. I'm wondering if you've heard of him.
Slim Boogie,
yes.
Hold on. Did you know Slim Boogie is literally my favorite dancer?
Oh.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not surprised to hear that because he's definitely pretty amazing. Definitely.
Oh, he's so good. He's even better once you understand the dance style of popping more, because then you realize just how creative he really is.
Get an actual sense for what he's actually doing and how much even more amazing it is. I've seen videos of him where he takes like 30 seconds at the beginning of, you know, when he's on, he should be dancing, but no, he's taking like 20, 30 seconds just getting into it. And you can see him just getting into it. And it's pretty cool to watch.
He's immensely patient with what he does. And the thing is, with Slim, the patience, it always feels like a buildup because mm-hmm. he's just that good. He's one of those dancers, you can watch him and he just like never disappoints. He can do the simplest things and he'll make them amazing. He is like the definition of somebody who can do so much, but like he's the definition of a lot with a little because he can do so much with the knowledge that he has. I would have the biggest fanboy moment in the world if I ever met somebody.
I'm glad I brought it up then. I had no idea.
Right? But yeah,
so your movements when you dance are just so smooth. How did it come that way? Just by practicing over and over again, your body just naturally started knowing how to move?
I think a big thing is like, even as a seasoned dancer, if you take time away from dancing, what you find is that it's like you can still do all of the basic things. It's just you kind of maybe lose a little bit of the sense of how to put them together. So like you need that day of just like tracks and just you just keep going and going and going. You get back into like how to weave it all together. The smoothness thing is interesting because I feel like when people say that, they're often referring more to how I dance in suit. And how I dance in suit is different from how I dance out of suit because I mm-hmm. have to modify a bunch of things and I don't practice in suit ever.
Mm, okay.
Whatever comes out when I'm in suit is kind of what comes out. And when I'm practicing for a dance comp or something, I just try to keep it in mind. Like I know there are certain positions I can't get into unless I want to rip right out my nub.
No. That would be, I don't even know the word. It would be horrible.
But it would be catastrophic.
It would be very kitty-strophic. Yeah. Kitty-strophic. Oh, my cow. So, do you prefer freestyle or the floor wars or choreographed dance comp?
Freestyle, because I don't ever choreograph ever.
Oh, really?
My dance comps are freestyles.
They are?
For the most part. I think they're like maybe practiced freestyles. There have been times where it is very much like, well, I did prelims and then I did one semi take in my room. There are other times where it's maybe a little more practiced.
Yeah.
It's never been fully choreographed.
So what you're saying then is you go to the prelims and you do a dance and the judges say, yes, you can be in the competition. And then you get to the competition and you do something different?
The thing is, I usually know how I'm going to start. And when I say start, I mean, I know the position I want to start in. From there, we'll usually go into, like, I'll have something in my head for like the first 10, 15 seconds. Like, okay, this is kind of what I want to do. And it may not be exactly the same as prelims. And then sometimes I'll just have like key points in my head. Okay, I want to be in kind of X position, both pose wise and where I am on the stage wise, when this part mm-hmm. hits, because this is what I want to do there. I'll try to keep that in mind, but it's really, really like even after you've done these for a while, you find you can have this whole thing planned out in your head. All it takes is one move being a little bit off and you're like, uh-oh, I'm on autopilot. I'm not on time. Oh, God, what am I doing? I guess I'm just doing it. You can do different stuff from prelims if you really want to. It's generally not advisable to do something totally different if it worked well enough to get you in.
Right. Yeah. No, that. That makes total sense. That's actually amazing to hear you say. So I've been in a few dance comps and, you know, when I prepare for a dance comp and trying to come up with a routine and everything, it takes me a long time. So from that perspective, I can understand where it's, if you're good at freestyling and if you have those like kind of little spots in your mind, you know, to kind of guide you through the quote unquote routine, that can be a lot less stressful in a way.
I've gotten a little bit better at it as of late. I remember the first couple times I went out there and kind of freestyled things. It was exactly what I mentioned before. You know, I did one thing that was slightly different from what I intended to do, and then it's just all bets are off. You know, the mind just kind of blacks out. You leave the stage and you're like, I don't even remember what I did. I just did it. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's just like that. But I think a part of it is I'm too much of a perfectionist, to be honest. Like, this is the other side of the coin that people don't really think about, is with choreography, I can get the first 30 seconds choreographed, and then I will constantly be like, yeah, but I think this would be better. Now I want to change this. And I'm still only 30 seconds into the song 2 hours later, because I keep changing it and iterating it. And I'm like, well, this would be really dope, but psych, that's actually impossible, because you can't do that move sequence in suit and in time with the song going its actual speed. So do something simpler, stupid.
Yep. The common theme in this puppy's brain.
You're silly. You're not stupid. You're silly.
I am a bit of a silly pup.
I can tell.
So what is your favorite? So you mentioned hip hop before. Is that like one of your favorite musics, or what do you typically like to listen to?
I think a lot of people are like, oh, you know, everything. This is something that everyone thinks about themselves, right? Everybody thinks they have eclectic music taste. I like some poppy stuff. I like a lot of hip hoppy stuff. I like plenty of rock, to be honest. It depends. I'm not really big on country, or for some reason, a lot of indie stuff doesn't really do it for me. I'm not really like super hard set on certain genres at all.
Just kind of what you're in the mood for.
This is my way of completely not answering the question, by the way.
You did an amazing job of not answering the question. So a good job. When you don't do dance routines, you're freestyle, and that's great. You just go the flow and you just do it. Now, do you think that the type of music you might be interested in listening to at a particular moment drives how you might be dancing?
I'd like to see what I can do with a style. And I've learned, and I've started doing this with a couple styles in particular. One of them is like robotics, where I'll take a song that you wouldn't think of as a very robotic song at all, like a Katy Perry pop song. And I'll be like, I'm going to try to be a robot to this and try my best to be like a robot trying to be poppy and see what happens. But yeah, I think in general, how I'm, you know, sometimes I just want to be bouncy and fun. And other times I want to be maybe a little more emotionally reserved or robotic or something. And sometimes you just want to be like an evil beast or a creature, or like a really funny little jokester or something like that. And that kind of can kind of influence like the attitude that you have.
Yeah.
And the accents that you put on what on the moves that you're doing.
Dancing is emotion. You can really, express yourself very well through dance. And that's a really interesting thing you say. I like that about how take a Katy Perry song or something and try and be robotic to it. And I imagine that's a really great way to kind of, you're talking about deepening. You don't necessarily have to have a big repertoire, but a good way to deepen what you can do with a certain thing.
Like all those party dance moves that people do, but imagine like a robot doing them. Like that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You could do all sorts of moves that you would see somebody do like at a party, but just try to do them as a robot, because that can be like a really, it's like a really sick crossover of two different things. And I think a lot of times when you're able to do that, that's when like the crowd's going to get into it. The opposite is also true. Like somebody who dancing to a very robotic song, but their style is like whacking, which is like really sassy. If they can kill a robotic song, it's really interesting to watch.
So for any fur that's just trying to start out with dancing, or if they're currently dancing first but want to improve, how would you recommend to do these things?
My perspective on it is I get a lot of people who ask me this, like, how do I get better? How do I do this? How do I do that? And it's like, I could write a book for you and give it to you. I could give you videos to watch. I could give you OGs. Like OGs of their style of like popping robotics to check out.
OGs?
You know what that is, right?
I do not.
Original Gangsta, my man.
Oh, down with it. Na 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 na.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
You got it.
God.
So I could give you all this stuff to look up. It's not going to mean anything if you don't dance. Mm-hmm. I think that's what a lot of people expect. They kind of, you know, they see something, they like it, they ask me or one of the other dancers about it. And it's like, how do I dance? You know, what do I do? What draws your attention, first of all? figure out something to work on, and also start to do it. Like, honestly, start to do it. And you don't even have to just start with that. Like, let's say if you want to start learning robotics, you don't have to, like, if you're brand new, you don't have to do robotics every single time you practice at the beginning. Sometimes just put music on and just move to it. Just move to it, but you're not allowed to stop. Okay. That's the rule. You can't stop. No matter where you are, or if you get into like a really awkward position and you don't know what to do, find a way out of it. Because that's the way you learn to keep going, and you learn to keep working with whatever position you get yourself into. For people who have been doing it for a little while, eventually you do get to the point where, especially if you're working on things that are more technique-based, like popping, you just have to drill it sometimes. And honestly, that's kind of cathartic to me. Because sometimes it's like, you know, we don't always feel like we want to dance, right? Like, sometimes you maybe aren't in that kind of mood. So it's like nice to just, okay, I'm going to do 50 hits, 50 chest pops, and then I'm going to do 50 with my right arm, 50 with my left arm, 50, I don't know, with one leg up in the air, 50 with the other leg up in the air, and just do it. Bam, 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 and just do it over and over, and pop and like hit with all the different muscles that you can, and do as many things as you can. And that way it's almost like a drill routine, because it's, you don't need like the emotional aspect of the music. You can just, well, I did my drills. That's it. That's all I had to do. Didn't have to think about it.
And then when you are dancing with the music, I imagine when you've done it enough and you've got it into muscle memory, it'll just come out and you don't have to think about the drilling or anything. It's just, it's now a part of your quote unquote repertoire.
There are a number of different ways to practice. You can also play games with it. Like, sometimes my friends and I, like Flinch or Atsu or Jammage, like, we'll give each other a song, but we'll give each other like a condition as well. Like, you can dance to this, but you have to focus on your legs. Or you can dance to this, but you have to use tutting and right angles the whole time.
That's fun. So how can we see more of you? Do you have social media, or do you have a YouTube, or what's the best way to find you and look at your stuff?
I don't really have too much social media. I do have my Twitter, which is at Smelly Strobes. I'm also on Instagram under the same username.
And that's one word, no dash?
Yeah, just Smelly Strobes. Yeah, those are the two that I use the most. I don't do TikTok. I have a YouTube, but I don't really post to it regularly at all. If anything, I usually just keep things on Twitter. New platforms coming out all the time, so.
There really are. Like, you can't even keep up with them. Like, I don't do TikTok. It's like, there's enough. Even between this Pupcast and YouTube, and it's too hard to keep up with everything.
No, I feel you.
There's a lot on YouTube with you from other people have posted, so they just tag you, and so if you type in Strobes or Smelly Strobes, a lot pops up.
Yeah.
So I have noticed.
So yeah. In a way, you have a YouTube, you just don't know it or have anything to do with it.
Oh, yeah, I just own everybody else's YouTube. That's feline thinking right there.
That is total feline
there thinking. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
Bark, bark.
So is there anything else that you'd like first to know about you? Or do you have any like deep words of wisdom for our listeners?
Deep words of wisdom. I don't know if I have any deep words of wisdom, because I feel like they never really turn out well if you force them. Just
okay. That's fine.
Just do well. Do good. Do good for one another. And minimize regret. If you know you're going to regret doing something or not doing something, then get rid of that regret. Because at the end of the day, the only person you truly have to answer to is yourself.
Very true. There you go.
That was awesome.
And you thought you didn't have any wise words of wisdom. Oh,
kitty. Meow, I lied.
Kitties do that sometimes. They lie around a lot, actually.
They do.
I might be like half laying on my bed right now, actually.
Strobes, thanks so much for coming on our show. It was an honor to have you on our broadcast.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. It's really cool. I don't think I've actually done a podcast at all before.
Well, you can't say that after now.
Hold on, Tabin. I know you're a puppy. What is the other animal I'm speaking with?
You mean me?
Yes.
I'm a bear.
A bear.
I'm half bear, half binturong.
Half bear, half binturong.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever met one of those before.
Well, you have now.
Another first.
Now you guys have officially chatted with a space lynx.
There we go.
And do you know what a binturong is, Strobes?
Absolutely not.
Binturongs are also known as bear cats, and they are a forest dweller, and they have a huge, huge tail, and they smell like buttered popcorn.
How many binturongs have you smelled?
I have not smelled any, but I believe them when they tell me that they smell like buttered popcorn.
It's a wonderful thing to believe in my mind.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. If somebody tells me that, I'm like, you know what? It's canon. Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right, Scrubs, thank you so much for being on our show. And we're going to say goodbye at this point.
Thank you guys again for having me on. Have a good evening.
You too. Bark, bark.
Meow.
Wow, that was kind of fun. He's an interesting kitty.
He was a fun kitty. Lots of great things to say. Of course, I'm being a dancy pup myself. I was very excited to talk to him and listen to him about all the things, as you first can probably tell, because I kept rambling and various things, but that's what I do anyway. But yes, it was... It was a lot of fun to talk to him. I think he had some really great advice and interesting thoughts of ways to improve and think about dancing and stuff. So I'll definitely have to think about those things.
I was totally surprised to hear that he didn't choreograph his routines and stick to them from prelims to competition. That's kind of interesting.
That is something I definitely did not know. I have talked to one for at one point in one of the dance comps I was in. We were just talking backstage or something, and he said he freestyles all his dance comps, but he didn't. I mean, I felt he was an outlier, because I'm thinking, why would you got to have a routine. I guess right? You could just freestyle, but you got to have a routine.
Yeah. But wow, that's crazy.
with as great and amazing and well rehearsed, just naturally, that Strobes is, he's some fur that can go out and do that. And so, and with all this stuff he's won, apparently he knows what he's doing, I guess.
Apparently, yes, obviously, as he's won many competitions, this seems to work.
Yeah. I guess do what you know how to do, I guess.
Let's move along to our next segment. What do you say?
I say move along, little puppy.
All right. Well, Tabin, it is now time for you to grace us with your wisdomly wise wisdom on math.
Well, it's just a little tidbit this week. Last week you had actually asked me to say something about Pascal's triangle, and I don't remember why. Do you remember why?
Actually, for our listeners, we didn't mention it on the air. I had sent him a telegram saying, hey, if you want to do something about math, I heard about Pascal's triangle on a television show I watched. Could you explain that to us, please?
Well, there you go. There are so many Matthew things I could say about it, because this thing called Pascal's triangle, which I'll tell you what it is in a second, has so many amazing properties. It's amazing in the sense that, if you remember, several weeks ago, I talked about the Fibonacci sequence and mm-hmm. how it's in nature and bunnies and sunflowers and things. And it's amazing its properties just for being so simple. It's the same type of thing with Pascal's triangle. It just has so many amazing properties for being so simple seeming. So let me tell you what it is. So Pascal's triangle is, it's easier to actually see if I could draw, but I'll try and explain it. So you start with a one. So it's going to be a triangle. You start with a one. And then below that, on the next row, write a one and a one, kind of on the left and right, but the next row down.
Okay.
Now, for the next row, do the same thing. Write a one on the very left, one on the very right, just mm-hmm. one row right below it. And then, so you've got a center, and that center is the sum of the two things above it. So the two numbers above it is a one and a one. One plus one is two. So in between those on that next row, between the two ones, write a two. So Your next row looks like 1, 2, 1.
Okay.
You just really continue that pattern. So, for example, the next row would be write a 1 on either end, mm-hmm. kind of diagonal from the ones above it. And then...
So essentially, you've got a 1 at the top of the triangle,
uh-huh.
and then a 1 and a 1 on the next level down, like you're setting up bowling pins, so to speak.
Yeah.
The next line, you'd have three numbers, but you'd have a one on either side and then a two in the middle, because the two numbers above it add up to two.
Right. Yep.
So now the next line, you're going to have four numbers, a mm-hmm. one on either side. And then what are you going to have in the middle?
So in the middle, you'll do just like you did before. You add the two numbers be above it. You'll have two numbers in the middle. Above the first little spot there on your next row, you have a mm-hmm. one and a two. One plus two is three. So write a three.
Three.
And then on the next spot, the numbers above that are 2 and 1. Those add up to three. So put a three. So your next row has four numbers. It goes 1, 3, 3, 1.
Okay. And you just follow that pattern down.
and then he just
eventually pulled it becomes infinite. I would imagine you could go to a bazillion lines.
Definitely. Yeah. And so that next, just for any fur that's listening, just to make sure, if you're following along, the next line after that should be 14641.
And so then there's pattern.
So there's a pattern, right? And they're all numbers. You're just adding the numbers above it. But yeah, just like you said, this can go on forever if you wanted to. And it's so simplistic. And okay, that's fine. But why? There are so many, as I said, there are so many actually interesting properties and patterns that come from this. So, for example, there's things like every prime row. So if you remember at one point, I talked about prime numbers. Mm-hmm. So if you look at every prime row, if you start numbering from the right place, every one of those numbers except for one are prime numbers. So that's pretty interesting. The number pi, if you know that, 3.14152653535, all that ratios. If you know what pi is, that number can actually be seen in there by adding up the right kind of places.
Okay.
If you know about expanding things, so not all of you may not know about this, but like algebra, if you multiply two things together, binomials together, you get something and you can raise it to a power and all that. If you know about that, the coefficients you get are the numbers in the row. So if you want to raise, for example, x plus y to the 10th power, if you look at the 10th row, the coefficients you get in that expansion are the numbers in the 10th row of Pascal's triangle. It's really interesting. Also, what's even more interesting, in a very big way, is combinatorics can be seen in Pascal's triangle in the following way. Let me digress for just a second and talk a little bit about probabilities and combinatorics for a second. I think this is something we all know. If you have a certain number of things, say 10.
Okay.
I see you laughing.
It's like, this is something we all know. And I'm like, I don't know this.
No, well, okay. Well, so if you have, say, 10 things. Say you have 10 basketball players and you need to choose 8 for a team or something, say.
Because basketball teams have 8 players. They don't.
Well,
they have
5. Okay. So maybe they have like people sitting on the, I don't know. Let's pretend. We're living in Flatland.
There's only 8 players on a basketball team. It's a new kind of game. Yes.
It's a new kind of game. It's very exciting. So if you had to do that, you might, for whatever reason, want to know how many ways can you choose 8 of those basketball players out of the 10, that could be useful for a reason. And you've got, you can imagine many different situations where you could choose a certain number of things from a bigger set of things, marbles or basketballs or whatever you want. Now, how does it have to do with Pascal's triangle? Well, let me tell you. If you look at the 8th spot over in the 10th row of Pascal's triangle, that number will be 45. And that number is the number of ways to choose 8 basketball players out of your 10.
Wow.
And that always will work that way. So in general, Pascal's triangle, if you look at a certain row and a certain number of spots in, that number gives you the number of ways to pick that number of things from that number of things. It's really interesting. So you can figure probabilities. And so if you think about it, we've got this Pascal's triangle thing, which is just comes from adding numbers. Holy cow. This is anyone can do this. It's related somehow to the coefficients in expansions of, algebra and stuff, which is related to the number of ways to probability, the number of ways to choose things and stuff. This is all connected. It's really interesting you bring this up because it's one of the, I've always liked, this pup is always like math, but once I saw these connections, this is the thing that really made me excited about math and wanting to find out more about the wonderful things and connections that are out there in the world because of it. Yeah, so for any of you furs that are out there and find this interesting, you can go to Wikipedia and see all these amazing properties of this and anything else. This pup really approves this message.
For those of you out there that have read or watched The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yes. I wag. Douglas Adams.
I'm guessing that Pascal's triangle is what they use to make the improbability drive.
Ah, maybe. I would not be surprised, actually.
The infinite improbability drive. Yes.
I remember that.
You know, you mentioned something earlier about prime numbers. There's nothing better than being age 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, 19, 23, 29, 31, 37, 41, 43, 47, 53, 59, 61, 67, 71, 73, 79, 83, 89, or 97 years old. You know why?
Why?
Because those are the years that you're in your prime.
Yeah, I so saw that.
Okay. Speaking of that, I think it's time to get into some jokes. What do you think?
As I say, maybe that's what this podcast is. It's just one big joke. But yeah, let's get more into it.
And for those of you tuning in for the first time, I'm sorry.
Thank you for making it this far.
And for those of you that have listened to all the episodes, God, we're going to give you a big hug when we finally get around to
the con. Wow. We love you so much. You have so much endurance. Or maybe you're just some big masochist. I don't know. But thank you very much.
So Taven has a really bad joke book. And so he's going to go to the next page in his joke book, which means we probably have about another 40 episodes to go through this page, this
we
book.
Do. There's a lot of pages. And any fur that knows me is probably wondering if I actually wrote the book because of all the really bad jokes.
So while you're digging through your book, I want to tell you that I just watched a documentary about beavers. It was the best damn show I ever saw.
Well, I want to know if you know, why did Santa Claus use only 7 reindeer this year?
I don't know why.
He left Comet home to clean the sink.
Hey, do you know what you call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
Faulty? I don't know. Yeah,
it's a stick.
That's the thing I chase all the time. And it doesn't come back to me. So that's why I have to chase it.
That's why you have to chase it, yeah.
What kind of monkeys grow on stems?
I don't know.
Gray apes?
Gray apes. Grapes.
Grapes. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Great. If this is your first time listening, you're not listening anymore. I understand.
So what do you call a person in a tree with a briefcase?
I don't know.
Well, that's a branch manager.
Oh, my. That's a new branch of the government right there.
That's right.
Oh, my. What is 6 feet long, green, and has 8 eyes?
I don't know.
The Jolly Green Giant sneakers?
Huh?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I've got one more, and then
okay,
I'm done.
Okay, then we're done.
So a ham sandwich walks into a bar and orders a beer, and the bartender says, "I'm sorry, we don't serve food here." Hey, you know what that brings us to?
What does that bring us to?
That brings us to this or that.
This or that.
All right, I got 4 of them this week for you.
Holy pup.
I know. The first one is real simple. A sailboat or a motorboat?
Probably a motorboat, because a sailboat is kind of charming, I guess is the word it is. It sounds like too much work. I like just being able to push the button and go. So I'm going to have to go motorboat.
Have you ever been on a boat?
I have. This pup has. It's actually a lot of fun. It was a motorboat. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Just kind of like motoring around. I've even driven one once with my posies. I had to be overseen, obviously, because my posies cannot always be trusted.
So 80s or 90s?
Gotta go 80s. Oh, fluff. Gabriel from A&W Conchair was telling me, because I was telling him recently that, you know, cons need to have more 80s DJs, you know, at the raves and everything. It's good stuff, techno and everything. But Gabriel was saying he has a bunch of 80s DJs, and I didn't, because I've been missing out or something.
That's when you go back to take a little pup rest. They play all the music you really like.
I think I'm taking my puppy nap at the wrong times. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But wouldn't that be great? That'd be fun.
Eagles or hawks?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
But so I think I told you before, what's the difference between unlawful and illegal?
I don't know.
Unlawful is when you do something wrong. It's against the law. Like, don't do it. But illegal, it's a sick bird. So on that note, eagle or hawk, I'm going to go eagle because they're like bald sometimes or stuff. And they make fun little majestic sounds.
And finally, garage bands or marching bands?
Garage bands. Got to do it. Because, you know, Nirvana, garage band from Seattle. Nirvana was one of this pup's first, like, the first, like, music that wasn't Weird Al after that for me was actually Nirvana. And they were a garage band. And this pup likes a lot of garage bands. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Grunge and stuff. Oh, yeah. There you go. Roar. Or something. I don't know why he just said that, but he did. So, anyway, I'll go garage band.
Okay, well, garage bands it is. And that, my friend Taven, brings us to the end of our podcast.
That it's been a journey. Let me tell you, it's been a journey.
It's been a journey this week. We come to the end. Remember, everybody, you can reach out to us on barelyfurcasting.com. You can email us at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com. Send us an email. Send us a topic that you'd like us to talk about. Send us a math question.
Definitely.
Send
us definitely.
Anything you want. Send it to us. Well, not anything, because, you know, we don't want pictures of strange things.
Yeah.
So, riffraff.
Riffraff.
From
Faulty Rocky Towers.
Horror. No, I thought it was Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, that too. Yeah. No, okay. And have you seen Faulty Towers?
I have. I love Faulty Towers.
I love Faulty Towers. I have the full library, which is only 12 episodes, but it also has like interviews and stuff on it. I've seen every single one of those episodes like 1,000,005 times each. But I was just thinking about, at one point, Mr. Faulty, John Cleese, of course, I love him. He said, I think it was in Gourmet Night. I think it was the episode that he said, get away some of that riffraff or something like that. Anyway, so okay. That's what I thought of when you said that.
Okay, riffraff,
but you know,
yeah.
that's a great thing. You know, I'd love to answer some math questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'll research and get it. So if some fur has some math question, I would love to talk about it. So please do.
Cool. All right. Yeah. You can reach out to us on Telegram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on our website, all Barely Furcasting or Furcasting. Search us out. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from our fan.
Not enough to make the arena breezy.
Well, with that, Tabin, I'm going to say goodbye, good night, and I will talk to you in a week.
I'm looking forward to it. Good night. You have a good week, Barely.
All right. Bye-bye. Barely Furcasting is an Injured Nerds studio production and is found on all major podcast platforms or can be heard directly at barelyfurcasting.com. All opinions expressed here are those of Tabin and Barely, and neither received any commercial compensation for their opinions. The Furcast is produced, recorded, and directed by me, Barely Normal, a.k.a. Mike Vegan, and is edited by myself and our associate editors, Rain Raccoon and Canes. Opening and closing theme music was created for Injured Nerves Productions for the use on the podcast by our music associate, Regde, with Damien Tanuki. Some interstitial and background music by Shane Ivers through SilvermanSound.com. If you would like to send us a message, you can do so via email at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com or on our Telegram chat at BFFTChat, on Twitter, or on our Facebook page. Or on the barelyfurcasting.com webpage. You can also help support the show through donations at ko-fi.com/barelyfurcasting. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back and listen next week.